I think most Christians are blind to the fact that they really are involved with the world. I mean, they just are. They don't know what they are. John said, you know this, John said in 1 John 2, 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, or the things that are in the world, okay, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what John said. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, how much of the world really is part of our lives? You realize how many Christians love this world and love the things of this world? Yet they claim to love the Father. They claim to love God too. They're deceived. They are liars and they're deceived. We cannot love this world or the things of this world and love God too. It's impossible. We have to choose one or the other. See? And what this grace gospel does is tell you you can love them both. In the end, God's going to pick up the tab and you'll be okay. You can love God in the world and it'll be all right. See? But if we try to cling to both, the world, the things of the world, and God, we're going to end up in terrible religious deception, which is what all the church is in right now. The majority of church, deep religious deception, delusion. And a lot of people out here are also in deception, not the church, because they got one foot in the world and they got one foot in the kingdom. And they're trying to do both. And I want you to remember this. When you're talking to people, your family, your friends, those who love this world or the things of this world, they also love the prince of this world. There's no way around it. You can't separate the ruler of this world from the world he rules and the things of the world which are his. I'm going to say that again. You can't separate the ruler of this world from the world he rules and the things of the world which are his. The things of this world are his. And many Christians are in for a rude, rude awakening on Judgment Day, because on that day they're going to realize that not only did they not love the Lord who died for them, they did love his enemy. They loved Satan. Because they loved Satan's world. They loved the things of this world which belong to Satan. Okay? And when you love this world or the things of this world, that's the reason love of the Father is not in you. The love of the Father, he will not put his love in you for him when you're loving his enemy. He won't have it. He won't dwell with Satan in you. In the same, it's in your spirit there. I'm talking in your spirit. So when people have a love for the world, I'm not talking about the bad things of the world. I ain't talking about the sin of the world, the drugs and the alcohol, gambling, drinking, laying around with women and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about the gross sins of the world. I'm talking about the world, even the good things of the world that we might call neutral or whatever it is. Okay? If you love those things, if you love the world, you love Satan. Because you can't separate the things of the world and this world from the one who rules it and the one who owns it, owns the things. All right? So I was thinking about these things. I just want to read them out, that we're going to be judged for all our idle deeds, our idle words, and we should need to make sure that our words aren't idle and our deeds aren't idle, that everything we're doing, everything we're saying, everything we're involved in, our relationships, everything we're doing is counting for the kingdom. We're not wasting our time, not wasting our words, not wasting our effort, not wasting our energies on things that are just in this life. You know, I was very sad this week that I had to waste all this time on myself, on my own body, the thing, getting this thing straightened out. But it was something, it was a necessity I had to do. It wasn't my choice. But even on a necessity like that, I don't want it. I don't like it. I don't like focusing on myself. I don't like thinking about myself. I don't like worrying about myself and constantly having 4 or 5 days worth of, doing it, getting all this stuff, going through training, doing all things I had to do for myself here. I hate that because my spirit is geared to heavenly things. My spirit is geared to meditating on heavenly things, talking about heavenly things, keep my mind on heaven. Every word, every deed, everything I'm doing is to gain fruit in the kingdom. And when I had to, I'm stuck here with 4 or 5 days, ready to do like, me, my body, is my body this, my body that. Yeah, it's frustrating because I hate it, even though it's necessary. But people do that all the time. They just live for their bodies and what they're going to eat or what they're going to drink or what they're going to do next day, their jobs, what they're going to buy, their luxuries, what their goals, their careers. And then, of course, you have family, which we went through last week. And I tell you, if there's anything that's going to take people out, it's family. The number one thing that takes people out in this walk is family. I'm going to tell you, you better watch your family, people. You must watch your family because the number one thing that takes people out is family. You know, I see people can die to self. They can lay down their jobs. They can walk away and live in cabins in the wilderness. They can live in trailer parks. They can live outdoors. They can live in camping tents. They can do anything for God, but they will not cut that root of family off. They will not come clean with the family and cut off the family that's not serving God. They won't do it. And I see many people do anything for God, anything, go anywhere, except cut off their family. Many people going down by families. Now, family is number one to take you down, I guarantee you, number one, even beyond and before self. Because many people can die to self, but they can't die to family, all right? But these things, how much, we need to sit back and get our, what I said, what I'm trying to say here is, we got to get a view of eternity. How much of our life is being invested, being in eternity, in things eternal, in the things of the kingdom. You know, there's certain, we have to have a job, we have to go to work. We have to have a car, we have to have a house to live in, whatever, or a place to live in. But those things don't need to occupy our time, occupy our mind, all right? You have a job, it's just about beans on the table. Just about beans on the table. Forget the career thing. I want to be somebody. I want to have something. I want to have a title. That's all the world. It's all the world, people. It's all the world. Just get a job and put beans on the table. That's all God wants. Get a car that goes from A to B. You don't have to have a new car. You don't have to have a great car. Just get a car that runs and gets you from place A to place B. That's all. Magic carpet to get where you are. Don't get your hearts involved in cars and wanting a new car, wanting this kind of car, wanting that kind of car. I have to have this. That's all the world. Christians are bound up and caught up in the world. They don't even know it. They talk about God all day long. They talk about the things of the Spirit. They can sit around and talk about their doctrine and all that. And their heart is really in the world. When you get them alone, they're concerned about their car, they're concerned about their job, they're concerned about their house, they're concerned about this and that. And their lives are focused and consumed, so much of it, 60, 70% of it is consumed on this life, on this earth, on this world. And they think they're being made ready to dwell with Jesus for eternity. It's a joke. We have to leave this world, leave this Adamic race, leave this Adamic existence, this Adamic thing we're in. We have to get out of it and become eternal creatures now. The time to do that is now. You know, that's just the abomination of this other gospel. So what's that guy, your best life now? That's to tell people you can have your best carnal, Adamic, worldly life now, and then God wants to give you the best life then. God wants to give you the best life now, and then you go to heaven, you get the best life then. That is such a lie. People believe that are going to go straight to hell. Straight to hell, they won't pass go. Nothing, I mean, they just go straight to the lake of fire. Okay? God does not want your best life now. He wants us to give up our life now. All of it, every bit of it, so we can become eternal creatures, so our minds and our hearts and our wills and our desires can be set on things above, things above, things above, not on things of this earth. How many people say that but don't live it? They say it all the time and they're deceived. They say it and they're walking down this carnal realm. They're living according to carnal mind. They're caught up in all kinds of things that are worldly and carnal, and they talk about living with Jesus and being transformed into his image and all that kind of stuff. It's a deception. We got to make sure our lives are lining up with our talk. If our lives are lining up with the talk, we'll be out of this world. Our minds won't be on this world. Won't be on the carnal things of this world. Won't be on relationships. Won't be on the Adamic realm. Okay? It'll be on the things of the kingdom. Everything we do will be calculated. How's this affecting my future in the kingdom? Is this kingdom talk? Is this kingdom deeds? Is this worth anything in the kingdom? I mean, we just waste so much time and energy on stuff that's going to perish. You know, Jesus said the world passes away. The world, all things in the world, this whole Adamic race, this Adamic existence, all these Adamic relationships, everything, it's all going to pass away. And you know how much time people spend on this thing that's going to pass away. And when it passes away, they're not going to have the eternal. They're not going to have what's left. When it passes away, they're going to be empty and dry and barren. And if God has mercy on them and takes them into his kingdom, that's his business. Praise the Lord. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. The more people he saves and has mercy on, that's fine with me. But they're going to be empty and barren, and they're not going to be ruling with Jesus. They're not going to be forth that fruit. They're not going to be a light to the nations in the next age. In the new world, they won't be a part of that city. It's a light to the nations. I mean, it's just terrible what's going on because of all this grace and faith error that creeps in. Even if you don't believe that doctrine or that gospel, it still creeps in on the side if you're not watching. It still creeps in. Well, you know, God understands me. I'm flesh, I'm dust. You know, God understands. Well, God doesn't understand, but he also has victory available for those who are willing to press in. He understands our frame. He understands we make mistakes. We fall. Sometimes we can't take it. Sometimes the battles we're in, because relationships are so hard, you just want to blow your brains out rather than live another day. He knows that, and he doesn't despise us for that, but he also gives us the courage and the will and the stamina to go on if we want it. If we want it bad enough. The people don't want it bad enough. That's a problem. People want to have hundredfold fruit, but they really aren't willing to pay the price. They want to be with Jesus the first resurrection, but they really aren't willing to pay the price. They say they are. They think they are, but they're not. And when push comes to shove, that's what all this is about. All these things that God puts in our way, these tests, these trials, whether it's family, whether it's a job, whether it's a whatever, financial, whatever it is, it comes to show us, it's a test. They're tests that come to show us where we're at. Because we always, and I'm including myself in this, we always tend to think we're further along than we are, more mature than we are, we're a better place than we are, more committed than we are, that we love God more than we actually do, you know? And these tests come along to show us, they're tests, like in school, to show us where you're at. You know, really, you got a D or a C. You're not at an A or B. Yeah, you think you get an A, but then you get the paper bag, and, oh, I got a D. What the heck's going on here? I got to study harder. All right, well, you got to walk in the faith harder. You got to press in harder. You got to deny yourself harder. You know, next test comes, next report card comes, you might be up to a C. You know, next one might be up to B, but that's the way it is. God gives us these tests so we can actually see where we're at, because we tend to deceive ourselves very easily. You know, we have a view of ourselves that usually is not correct. And God sets us tests so we can see where we're actually at. All right? And then that, as we pass those tests, we do grow. And we can see where we're at. So it's not that we can't ever see where we're at, but we definitely have a tendency to think we're someplace or not for a while anyway. Okay? But my point tonight was get an eternal focus on your lives. Get an eternal focus. Focus on eternal things. Is what we're doing gain us rewards, gain us glory, gain us a place, gain us the kingdom? Or is it all going to pass away? How much of our energies, how much of our relationships, how much anything that we do during the day is going to pass away when Jesus returns? And how much of it's going to last and go into the kingdom and have us a place there, provide a place for us there? That's my point. The more of an eternal view you have, the more of a you live in the eternal light of eternal things, of eternity, the more you live in the light of eternity, the less you're going to waste your time and energies on the things of this world, the things of this life, the things that aren't producing anything in you, okay? That's my point. So I'm just encouraging everybody this week to ask God to increase our vision of eternity, to help us live in the light of eternity, and to judge our deeds and our words and what we're doing, our relationships, what we're involved in, everything we're doing, judge it by what's it getting us, where is it putting us in eternity. It's not grace that's going to get us there. It's not grace in the sense of teaching that's going to get us there. In a sense of changing us and how we actually produce what we produce, our talk, our deeds, that grace changes us, and our deeds and our talk, that's going to produce our place in eternity. So we got to watch what we're doing and watch what we're saying and judge what's eternal, what's of eternal value, and what's down here going to be wasted, just going to go away. So many Christians are going to be lost. I mean, not lost, you're going to be empty. You know how many Christians are going to be empty on the day of the Lord? Just empty. They're not going to have anything. Their whole life is in this world. The carnal relationships, the carnal jobs, the carnal life. And they talk about God and they believe in Jesus as their Savior, but when Jesus comes, they're going to have nothing. They've wasted their whole life in this realm, this Adamic realm, and the world. And well, if God saves them, that's great, like I said, but they're not going to have anything. No glory, no prize, no rewards. There's going to be a naked spirit up there. Whatever God, what happens to him, happens to him. But that's the way it's going to be for multitudes and multitudes of people right now. If they escape the lake of fire, many of them are going to go to the lake of fire. They're not going to make it into heaven because of that grace gospel. But for us, we have a deeper vision. We at least know what God's trying to have some kind of grasp mentally what God's trying to do, what he wants from us. We got to make sure that everything we're saying, everything we're doing is of kingdom value as much as possible. Okay? That was my burden tonight, because you ever run across people who think they're something they're not, and they're still caught up in this world. They think it's okay. They just don't realize that when this world passes away, so much of their life is going to pass away with it. They don't have anything stored up in heaven. Their words are all carnal words about the carnal life, carnal knowledge, carnal information. You know, and when Jesus comes, they're going to be empty. When the world passes away, all their life is going to pass away with it, because they have nothing laid up in heaven. It's all carnal, carnal, carnal. It's all damage. It's all this life, my relations, my love, my wife, my children, my parents, and my job, my car, my home. That's all it is. It's the life of the animal. All these Christians are living the life of the animal. Eat, sleep, work, reproduce. And when Jesus comes, all that's going to pass away. And they're going to have nothing in the kingdom, nothing built for themselves in the kingdom. They didn't even have to get to all their rewards or anything by grace. Some magic formula. It's terrible what's going to happen to these people. But I don't want it to happen to any of us. So I just encourage us all, and I'm including myself in this, to try and get a mindset as much as possible, a view of eternity, keep our mind on the things of eternity and eternal perspective on what we're doing every day. You understand what I'm saying? That's sort of the burden I had the last 2 days, trying to get back in the spirit into all this stuff this week. So that's basically it. It wasn't very long, but it's very important. Very important, because it's very easy to talk one thing and do. And I'm telling you, there's going to be many people who talk the talk and ain't walk the walk, and they're going to be so sorry. I mean, you got 60, 70, 80 years here on earth to die to self, to put the stuff down, to deny yourself, to not have what you want. All eternity. Have you ever sat down and tried to wrap your brain around how long eternity is? How long is eternity? How long is forever? We got 60, 70 years to go through mud and slush and garbage here, not have what we want, have our desires, you know, not be fulfilled. No, but you got all eternity to reap that. We're going to be reaping for all eternity what we're sowing in these 50, 60, 70 years we're alive. People don't believe that. They don't believe they're going to reap for eternity what they've sown in this life. They can do whatever they want in this life. Grace is going to cover it. In the end, we're going to get everything we're supposed to get by grace. It's so horrible and disastrous and terrible, pathetic, what's happening here. I know you guys don't believe that doctrine, that gospel, but it does tend to creep in if we're not careful. Just it tends to creep in on the sides without us, you know, without us realizing it. It gets us off, gets us kind of lazy, and you know, and just not watching real, not right on the edge. You got to live on the edge, you know. You let that stuff take the edge off of your life, man. You're in trouble. Don't let it take the edge off your life, all right? Keep an eternal perspective, what we're doing, why we're doing it, what our motives are. Is it of eternal value, or is it going to pass away when Jesus comes? You don't want to be left naked and have nothing when Jesus comes, right? Amen. So Irma says, I hate this world. Even so, come quickly. Yeah, that's what my mom says, Irma. She's all the time saying, oh, Lord, I hate this world. I hate this world. Lisa says, I think we need to be continually examining ourselves, our motives, and check our hearts to be sure where we're living as strangers and aliens of this world. Amen. It's very easy to talk like that and say we are, but get lulled into this thing where we're actually not. Get up every morning, you worry about what you're going to do during the day, how you feel during the day, what I'm going to eat today, what I'm going to feed my family today, what's it going to be tonight, what are we going to do tonight. And that's very easy to spend your whole life on this earth. The things of this earth, things of this world, man. And people do it. It's very easy getting that. Very easy. It's not hard at all. You got something to share, Mom?
Yeah.
Mom's standing here in the doorway. I think she has something to share. Hang on.
Hi, everyone. Wow. That was a good message, wasn't it? It has me stirred up. I want to tell you, this has been a hectic week for us. It seems like some of us on this Pal Talk are in the same boat. Bad week, bad week, bad week. Good God, bad week. But let me tell you something. There's quite a lot of things on my heart tonight. I don't want to babble on. But I was thinking when Daniel said about our relatives, Jesus said, they of our own household will be our enemies. Jesus told us our enemies would be they of our own household. They of our own biological family, they'll be the enemies. They're the ones that Satan's going to use to get you living in the world, to get you doing things of the world, to get your eyes off of Jesus. They're your enemies today. I want to tell you that. They of your own household are your enemies. Keep a guard up. Keep a guard up against those of your own household. And I was reading this week in Galatians, because there is a burden here in our home right now, and it's been kind of hectic, and we all kind of have to make changes in our daily lives. And I was reading in Galatians where it says, Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then in Galatians 6:5, it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. You know, there's certain burdens we can share and help each other with, but then there's a certain burden that only we can share, and only God can help us. And when that, and a few weeks ago, I got a letter from a young sister, and it was so encouraging to me. And her name is Megan, and she said there's 10 of them out there in northern Wisconsin that are pressing in. It's a family. It's a mother and a father and 6 grown children, and 2 of them are married, and they're pressing into the high calling. And she said something. Her letter encouraged me, and she said something at the end of her letter concerning Daniel and his health. She's praying that Daniel will will bear his burden well. And I thought, what a beautiful prayer. What else can we ask but that we bear our burden, that burden that only we can share with the Lord, that we bear that well before him. What a wonderful prayer. And I thought, that's what we can pray for each other, that this other burden that we all must carry ourselves, that the Lord helps us to carry it. That when we stand before him, he'll be able to tell us, well done. That's the desire of my heart, and I was real impressed with this letter. I know this young lady and her husband just not too recently gave birth to their first child, and because of some complications at birth, it went to be with the Lord. And it was a very devastating thing to that whole family because they're very close. But you know what? They took up their cross and they followed Jesus. And that's beautiful. There are devastating things we go through that only God can take us through and help us. And I wanted to say something about Holly Dog. I don't know if he's on here right now, but if he's not, he'll hear this tomorrow. I just want to say a word of encouragement to you, Holly Dog. God loves you, and God sees your brokenness and your contrite spirit, and he sees your spirit of repentance. And don't ever believe that he's mad at you and he's going to turn away from you. You know, the Lord brought a scripture to my remembrance today, and it's very beautiful, and I want to share it with you, Brian. It says, it's Isaiah 49:13-16, and God was speaking to the children of Israel, but we're the spiritual children of Israel, so he's speaking this to us. He says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted." But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." And God says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." You mothers out there that are real mothers, you know you would never forsake your suckling child. You would have mercy on it, and you would never forsake the child of your womb. But God says, "You'll do that before I forsake you." What a wonderful promise. Hallelujah. What a wonderful promise. God loves us. God wants to help us. And if we're walking in obedience to him, he's going to help us. And don't let the enemy tell you he's not going to. And Brian, any thought that comes to your mind that God is still angry at you for some mistakes you made in your situation there that I know you've repented for, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. God loves you, and God wants to help you, and God wants to. You know, Jesus said to Peter, "Satan has desired to have you. He's desired to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fails not." And he says, "And when you are converted," he didn't say if you are converted, if you change, if you come through this sifting and change. He said, "When you come through this sifting and change," he says, "encourage your brothers." So strengthen your brethren, he said. Strengthen your brethren. So you're going to be able to strengthen your brethren, Brian, through this. You're going to be able to strengthen your brethren when you come through this sifting. And just carry your burden well, Brian. Carry your burden well. We know the anguish of your heart, and God knows the anguish of your heart. But carry your burden well, and stand up for God as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I just like to ask you to remember Brian in prayer. He's facing an awful heavy burden right now, an awful heavy burden, and he needs help. And I just ask you to remember him in prayer, that he does carry this burden well before God, because God loves him and God wants to take him on. There was a song that we used to sing. I always talk about songs because songs have been a part of my salvation. There are many times when songs in the night have taken me through. And so there's a song we used to sing. Now, and I don't know this brother personally, but I do know of him. And I do know he was struggling with something that God had asked him to lay down. And when he finally laid it down, this song came forth. And you know, some of these songs that Danny sings, they're coming forth from people with who have had real experiences. That's why they're anointed. They've had real experiences, and they're singing out their real experiences. It's not just a cliche. And I just wanted to read the words to this song for maybe Sissy or Brian or anyone that needs this. It's called In Acceptance Lieth Peace. In acceptance lieth peace, O my heart, be still. Let thy restless worry cease and accept his will. Though this test be not thy choice, it is his, therefore rejoice. In acceptance lieth peace. Cease from sighs and murmurings, seek his lovely face. This thing means thy furthering to a wealthy place. From your fears he gives release. In acceptance lieth peace. In acceptance lieth peace. In his plan there cannot be aught to make thee sad. If this is his choice for thee, take it and be glad, and make from it some lovely thing for the glory of thy King. In acceptance lieth peace. I just ask the Lord to accept whatever he allows in our life, that we just carry the burden well and walk on in him to victory. There is victory in Jesus. We know that. That's not just a cliche. There is victory in Jesus. I praise his holy name tonight, and I thank him for taking me through this week. And I don't think I was real steadfast all the time, but when I wasn't steadfast, I just laid on my face and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And sometimes that's all we can do. Sometimes all we can do is cry and say, help, Lord, help. But he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. And I wanted to get on here tonight to praise him in spite of my unfaithfulness. I wanted to praise him for his wonderful faithfulness. Thank you. Shalom.
Amen. I'm going to try and sing that song, okay? I haven't sang it for a while. In acceptance lieth peace. Oh, my heart, be still. Let thy restless worry cease and accept his will. Though this test be not thy choice, it is his, therefore rejoice. In acceptance lieth peace. Cease from sighs and murmurings, seek his lovely face. This thing means thy furthering to a wealthy place. From your fears he gives release. In acceptance lieth peace. In acceptance lieth peace. In his plan there cannot be ought to make thee sad. If this is his choice for thee, take it and be glad, and make from it some lovely thing for the glory of thy King. In acceptance lieth peace. Sorry, try to get through this again. In acceptance lieth peace. Oh, my heart, be still. Let thy restless worry cease and accept his will. Though this test be not thy choice, it is his, therefore rejoice. In acceptance Life keeps aches from sighs and murmurings. Seek his lovely face. This thing means thy furthering to a wealthy place. From your fears he gives release. In acceptance lieth peace. In acceptance lieth peace. In his plan there cannot be aught to make thee sad. If this is his choice for thee, take it and be glad, and make from it some lovely thing. For the glory of thy King. In acceptance lieth peace. In acceptance lieth peace. Oh, my heart, be still. Let thy restless worry cease. And accept his will. Though this test be not thy choice, it is his, therefore rejoice. In acceptance lieth peace. Amen. Okay. Anybody else have anything to share? Or Ed or anything? All right, well then we'll shut her down. Thank you, Irma. All right. Keeping the faith. Keep trying to overcome. We'll see you next week, God willing, and the river don't rise.